That's right, live from Boomba's in Bellevue. It is Smashville Live. Chase McCabe with Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Hal Gill is here as well. Hope you're having a great night as we, like I said, we're live at Boomba's in Bellevue. Let's hear the people. We got talking some Preds hockey tonight. We got three defensemen here, so I'm outnumbered because I don't play anything. But
as we've seen that.
Yeah, we've seen that. We'll talk about that. But good to have you guys. Appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I know that you've done some of these before, but it's always cool now that we're doing it every week and traveling around and different parts of the town. So it's cool. And I know a lot of you guys were out and about today doing things. I saw Austin Watson and Victor Arvidsson earlier. I know Phil was out. So it's a big day for you guys to get out. And I know that's fun for you to get out in the community.
Yeah. Like you said, I think everybody on the team had something to do today within the community. So it's nice to always get out there and give back to the community that supports you. So, yeah, like I said, we just got back from a road trip and a good day in the community today before a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, let's talk about the road trip. So I know that this is – you're still in that transition time because you're getting used to John Hines and the new system and learning things. You don't get a lot of practice time. So I can't imagine what it's like of going through a coaching change mid-season and having to learn – you know, not everything over again, but different things, obviously. But go on the road, and you guys have been pretty good on the road. 2-2 on that road trip. What did you guys make of it overall? Matt, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think obviously we got off to a good start on the road trip with the win in Winnipeg and then followed it up in Calgary. And I think we had a really good effort in Edmonton. Obviously didn't go our way, and then I think if you look at our game, we talked about it in Vancouver. I think the start wasn't what we wanted, but overall, we had some really good chances in that second period to have it be a closer game than it actually was. So, like you said, with the new coach, you just try to you learn on the fly a little bit. And you break it down into smaller elements so that you're not overwhelmed, and then you try to apply it every night.
Yeah, I mean, Matt pretty much said everything, but I think you can see that. You know, since the coaching change, we've made a few small changes, and I think we can see that kind of starting to pay off. I thought, you know, after the coaching change, I thought our defensive game got much stronger. We didn't score too many goals, and I think now the offense kind of starts to look a little bit better as well. So I think looking at the whole road trip, of course, we would have liked to be 3-1 or 4-0, but I think if you just look at the way we played overall, I think we can be fairly happy with the road trip. I know that, you know, right now all that matters is points. So right. Even, you know, you lose in Vancouver and you look at all the stats and you feel like you should have won the game. You know, it's nice, but at the end of the day, you need those points in the playoff run. So, but I think overall, I think we're on the right track, and now we just have to, you know, put some wins together and get ourselves in a little bit of a prettier picture in the playoff race.
It sounded like John Hines had a. When he came in, he is very clear. Defensive zone was a thing he was going to address right away, and then he wanted to get the forwards the puck more and do that. So that was like the first couple things. But where has he gone to now? Is he still trying to install things, or is he just fine-tuning as you go?
I think there's still things that he wants to implement in our game. When he first came in, you just can't change everything,
right.
You know, I think it's mid-season. There's a lot of games and crucial time of the season. So I think he started the right spot in the defense, just trying to help us with our system. And I think now we're kind of focusing more on the offense. I think we have such a talented group up front. We have so many good players, and I feel like all year we haven't really found the production that we wanted. And I think right now he's really focusing on, you know, on them. You know, giving them a little bit more structure to help their talent to help us offensively, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to rain down on forwards, but Maddie, what are you looking for in the offensive zone from the forwards in particular? Because I feel like it's been part of your structure to have the D active in the offensive zone as much as possible. And what are you looking for from the forwards now? And what are you focusing on? Because you said, let's get the puck up to the forwards. Now, what are you looking to do as a defenseman? How do you support that, and what are you looking for those guys to do?
Well, I think, you know, before, earlier on in the season, we're all about kind of shot quantity, maybe not so much quality. And I think in some ways that's good. But I think over the course of, you know, like we said, we talked about our defense, and we worked our way into the offensive zone. On things we wanted to tweak a little bit, and with Heinze, he holding on to the puck a little bit more, not giving it up if you don't need to. If it's not, you know, a grade A look or a look that might create an obvious second, third chance, maybe pull out of the check, look for the D, just manage the puck a little bit better in the offensive zone, much like, you know, he likes to reference the way you manage the puck in the D zone and through the neutral zone. I think that mindset going into the offensive zone without just giving it away, or if it's, you know, a one-on-four, just firing on net, maybe you can buy some time for your guys to come support you, just like that. So we have maybe some more in-zone, offensive zone time, and we can create a little bit more like that.
When you look at the schedule, and obviously after the All-Star break and you had some time off, it gets much more condensed. When you're in a position like you guys are, knocking on the door of a playoff spot, does it make it easier to just have games, you know, as many games as you guys have together where you can kind of stay in that rhythm?
I think, you know, as much as you'd like to be sitting pretty at the top of the standings, you know, playing these type of playoff games down the stretch.
Against tough teams.
You know, against tough teams, division teams, back-to-backs, all sorts of things, really can set you up for the playoffs, just in that mindset of, you know, every game's huge, winning the one-goal games, learning how to hold on to leads, playing with leads, learning to come from behind, you know, all the ebbs and flows of a game. So I think the last couple years, I think Webby would agree, you know, we were at the top of the standings, and yeah. Once you come to playoffs, it's just a different game. Going back to the year we went to the finals, we had to grind and scratch our way into the playoffs, and I think we all as a group had that mindset of how we had to play going into playoffs because we've been playing it for about a month and a half prior. So I think there's a lot that can, you know, you can learn from these games. You know, obviously you got to get in, but you got to win hockey games, and you kind of you build that playoff mentality now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, we know the schedule's not getting easier, and the opponents aren't getting easier as well. And I think it's that time of year where, you know, you can become a great team. You know, you play against teams that are in the same playoff race as we are. You have teams who are trying to get in or trying to hold a playoff spot. So it's a lot of crucial games for a lot of teams. So I think that's, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to, you know, to really show that, you know, we are a playoff team. And I think that's the test we have right now. If we want to be a playoff team and make it far, this is the time to come together and get those wins and kind of feed off that confidence it can give us heading into the playoffs. And like Matt said, I think if you get into the playoffs the way we have to do it this year, I think you'll come with a lot of momentum and with a good feeling, like we had the year we made it to the Cup, and you know, that the years last year and the year before, we struggled in the first round because we weren't really playing playoff hockey because we didn't really have to. And I think this year, as hard as it is right now with the challenge ahead, I think you know, it's a good time to find our way and then get to the playoffs with a good feeling.
Is that kind of what John Hines has brought in, a embrace the grind mentality? Is that kind of what you're looking at, is you know, feed off of this, you know, upcoming couple months, because it's going to be a grind. And the, you know, we just went on a road trip and I'm watching you guys play. Every game is a team you could jump over or get closer to, or, you know, everyone's fighting for the life. So it is going to be a grind right down to the stretch. So is that kind of the mentality you guys have, is to hit this running and go into the playoffs when you do get there and be ready to play? Is that embrace the grind?
Yeah, I would think that's the right wording. I mean, it is that time of the year, as you know, that it is a grind. You know, it's been a long year.
I've been there, man.
Yeah,
it's a tough time,
you know,
of year.
You've played a lot of games. There's You know, a lot of miles on you, and it is a time where, you know, wins are more important than ever, and it is against teams that are in the exact same spot or fighting for the same thing. So it is a grind. It is it's a little bit more games. It's a little bit of a denser schedule as well. And you know, our teams are loading up at the trade deadline, or teams are, you know, are looking to make a push. So it is a grind, and I think you have to embrace it. I think if you're scared of it or you're afraid of it, then you know you'll lose. So I think you have to embrace it and take it as a challenge and kind of, you know, kind of love it. You know,
yeah.
So and that's what it's going to take for us to, you know, to make it to the playoffs.
Matty, does it feel good to look at what St. Louis did last year and say, hey, that could, why wouldn't that be us? I mean, they came from the bottom.
I feel like, you know, throughout the league, you see a team actually kind of do that and accomplish and winning the Stanley Cup from where they came from. I mean, obviously, should give, I mean, every team, I think, a little boost of confidence saying that it's not over till it's over type thing. And you know, we're in a much better position than they were halfway through the season. You just look at the standings, they're just so close. And, you know, like you said, that road trip is... you know, you're trying to separate yourself. You're trying to leapfrog teams. You're trying to, you know, gain ground. Every game is so important, and but they're all so tight too. And you know, like we touched on, just embracing that grind and how difficult it is. You know, the reward of, you know, coming together as a group and winning games gets us to where we want to be in the playoffs. And then, you know, you've been tested. You've been battle tested playing playoff style games, and you know, momentum is such a dangerous thing at this time of year, and you can ride that. And that, I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what St. Louis did last year. They got on a roll, and they felt the momentum and the trust and the belief within the room. And you know, we're working towards that. We have a strong belief in our group, and we know what we're capable of doing. And it's getting on that roll and gaining that momentum, getting in the playoffs, and riding it all the way through.
Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Hal Gill, Chase McCabe. We're live at Boombaz in Bellevue. It is Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll take some questions from the audience. But when we come back, we'll off the ice stuff. We'll talk about that with these guys. It's Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back on Smashville Live. We're at the Boombaz in Bellevue on Highway 100. Have a great crowd here tonight as we're excited. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill here with you. We have Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber. Of course, they'll do battle tomorrow against the New York Islanders, and a face that Hal knows, and Barry Trotz on the bench for the New York Islanders. All of this brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. So one thing we like to do is get to know you, the players, a little bit more, because I know this sport takes up so much of your time, but you do have lives outside of the rink. So, Matt, I know you have a two-year-old. What has fatherhood been like for you?
It's been awesome. He just turned two end of January, and he certainly keeps us busy. He's really into the hockey thing, which I think just came naturally. He comes to pretty much every game for warm-ups and stays for the first period. But he certainly keeps my wife busy when, you know, we're on the road. This last trip was a lot of work for her. She did a great job. Obviously, it was 8 days of no breaks. So Beckham, he's fun. He's a funny little guy, and like I said, if only he ate and slept a little bit better, he'd be a perfect kid. So working on that.
Matty, was he on? I saw a picture of him out on the ice with you guys.
Yeah.
During the break,
so during the break, a few of us went out for a little skate and brought him for a little twirl afterwards. He's he loves hockey, and he won't wear his hockey helmet unless he's got his hockey skates on. So at least he wears it then. But it was cool to get him out there with the guys. And
what do you think of his skill set?
Is he gonna get there? I hope he gets better hands than me, and maybe learns more of the skill game from someone else. And
goal scorer.
I could teach him some, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, playing hard and having good stick detail. But hopefully, he learns from someone else on how to really shoot the
block
and everything like that. Yeah. So
I'm like, no.
He just started like a couple weeks ago running around our island and body checking the pantry door, and I was like, Oh, geez.
Here we go.
It's time to watch someone else. So, he's been good.
So he's 2 years old. He's already on skates. I mean, I guess you're
Yeah, he's on skates. You know, it's an absolute backbreaker, but he's on skates, and you're dragging him around. Had him at the outdoor game in the family skate, so that was really cool. It's nonstop knee hockey at the house when I'm there, and he actually brings his mini hockey net up to his bedroom for bedtime, and all his pucks he puts them in his mouth, and he carries as many as he can, and yeah, he just can't get away from it. So he loves it. It's kind of cool to see.
Yannick, how did you spend the break? I know it's good to get away for a little bit.
Yeah, no kids to take care of, so I had a little bit more free time.
Fiance, right?
Fiance, yeah. We actually went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Oh, that's cool.
Since, you know, being from Switzerland, I'm a big winter person. I like the snow. I'm not good in the sand on the beach, you know. I'm a little bit pale, so I can't spend too much time at the beach. So we went to Jackson Hole just to get a little bit of snow, a little bit of relaxing, and since there's not much snow in Nashville, I kind of got my fix that I need every year.
It's a beautiful area. I've been to Cody, Wyoming before, but I loved it out there. It was really cool.
Did you grow up just skiing? I mean, you have to in Switzerland.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Yodeling and skiing.
Yeah, I mean, all of it. You know, so it's definitely something when you know growing up in Switzerland, you're exposed to it. You know, it's part of growing up, and you know, once hockey gets a little bit more serious, you kind of have to get away from it and you focus on that. So. You know, whenever we get a week off like we do now, it's kind of nice to go to the mountains and kind of get a little bit of this. And I mean, it's a week for us to kind of unwind and get away from hockey and just kind of enjoy family and the free time and come back to, like we talked about before, the most important part of the season. So, you know, I think it was a good week for everybody just to kind of unwind and relax and take care of their bodies and their families and come back, you know, ready to go again.
Well, you do a lot of, I mean, of course, you have your dogs that you have to go to. They're kind of like kids to you, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a kid, but I have a lot of teammates with kids, and it's way harder to have a kid. So
it's a gateway.
It's a gateway to kids. It's like a light version of a kid, you know, you have to feed them.
Miss them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a part of the family. It's a part of the daily routine. And, you know, myself and Kayla, we're big dog people. And
Well, tell us about what you're doing with. Go ahead.
With the Predators Foundation, they do so many good things. If it's with Children's Hospital or with Best Buddies or the holiday giveaways, like. I think the Preds Foundation does a great job with the community here in Nashville, and we just wanted to add something to it. And since we're big animal people and big dog lovers, we wanted to give back to the animal shelters in the area. And so we created this club, the Weber's Wolf Pack, where it's a membership. You buy the membership and all the money goes towards the shelters, the humane associations, anything that can help them with, you know, food or toys or anything that they need at the shelter. I'm not sure if you've ever been to a shelter, but it's, you know, it's a tough place to go, and you see they need help and they need financial support, or if it's, like I said, food or anything. So we created this foundation with the Predators to support the humane associations and other shelters. And the benefit of being part of the Weber's Wolf Pack is you get merchandise, you have a chance to win tickets, you have a chance to win signed jerseys from guys on the team, and we have meetups where, you know, we get together at dog parks and just kind of have other players come and join as well. And so I think if you're a big Predators fan and you have a dog yourself, I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, get to know us and also, you know, do something good for other animals in need. And you know, it's been something we've been doing for a couple of years, and you know, a lot of people appreciate it, and it's been going really well.
My dog Boss is a member. Just he's, but I kind of made it a Christmas gift. Is that fair? Is that fair to do?
Yeah, I mean,
but Well, the Preds, and I think there's a finals, right? Is there a finals of the dog? It's a competition.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think, yes.
I think Craig Smith's dog is in. I don't know who the other finalist is.
So, yeah, they put together this, since there's a lot of dogs on
it's
our team.
It's not you?
No.
Your dogs didn't make the finals?
Well, it's two.
And you have the Weber Wolf Pack?
Yeah, I know. I should have maybe paid my way into the final. No, but it's, I mean, there's so many guys who have dogs. Even Matt, you know, has a dog. And
yeah. First round exit for Tucker.
Tucker was out?
Didn't even have a chance, yeah. Nah, I can't even remember. Oh, I think he was up against Tula. Like, it was just a tough first
Tula's
round.
Tough.
Yeah. Great. See, she's got a great Instagram, and, you know, he's up to date. And, yeah, it was tough.
It might be, it's not Joey's.
It very well could be.
I hope not. Dog? I hope not.
No. Yeah.
But it might be. It might be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of guys with dogs, so they put together this little competition. That. But, yeah, Tula, I mean, she's a golden retriever that looks like a puppy, so she has to win.
Yeah.
I think what's so cool is you have your initiative, and all of you guys have different initiatives that you can do through the Preds Foundation. I know Nick Bonino's told me a lot about Bones' Barracks that he started last season, and has been able to help military families, and you guys do these different events throughout the year. The fashion show's coming up that we'll talk about, but how cool is it to be able, and Yannick's really excited about it, you guys are able to do your own things. What is that like for you guys, Matt?
Well, I think it's really cool, you know, in the community, you know, that you live in and kind of you're adopted into, you know, a lot of us are from, well, obviously from all over the world, and, you know, to bring something to the community that supports you every day in terms of hockey, and to work with them, whether it's, you know, visiting the Children's Hospital or the Best Buddies or the Weber's Wolf Pack. There's just so much that the Preds Foundation does. And, you know, if us as players, it's fun to get out there, meet the fans, and just spend an afternoon with them or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think we all look forward to it as a little you know break from hockey and an opportunity to get to know you know the fans that we appreciate so much that support us.
Yeah, PK started the Blue Line Buddies, and I think Roman has kind of kept it going. I know PK was a part of it when he came back with New Jersey, but you know, helping law enforcement. I mean, it's really cool. And I know Hal, you guys did a lot of stuff when you were here with the Preds Foundation. So it's just neat all the different areas you're able to touch.
Yeah, I think we're like. There's such a big platform for us too, you know, like I think Nashville is, you know, so many Predators fans, and you know, we have the privilege to do what we do, and I think just, you know, being a professional athlete gives you that platform to raise awareness for certain things, and you know, every guy has his thing, and the Predators Foundation helps a lot with that as well. So I think it's, you know, it's something really easy for us to do, and it benefits a lot of people in the community. So I think, you know, a lot of guys like doing that stuff. And you know, if you go to the Children's Hospital or all the other things, I think just seeing, you know, how happy it makes other people, and it's so easy for us to do, and it's well organized for us. I think it's, you know, it's something nice to do in our position that we're in.
Well, I have to commend you guys because – you know, this road trip was long, and it was tough. That was going through Canada. Every game was huge, and I'm just watching and talking about it, and I'm all jacked up. And you guys are playing these games, and then you have a long travel day yesterday, and I was pretty exhausted, and I didn't have a practice, and I didn't have a CR day. And thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate everything you do, and I want Smashville to know how much these guys put into it, because it's not just
especially
show up
this
for games
time of year. They're fighting for a playoff spot. Yeah, coaching.
There's a lot going on, so I appreciate you guys.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
It's very very cool that you guys do. All right, so Preds and Threads, the fashion show, on March 17th. I was there a couple years ago when you guys did this, because this was a new thing. Usually they do the casino night, and I think they're kind of alternating. What's it like to put on the Threads, as they say, and get out there and model?
It's every day for you guys, though, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I got no style, but it was fun last time we did it. It was a lot of fun. I remember, pretty sure my wife was pregnant at the time, so I don't know if she was there. So I was walking with a little kid, and we had some fun. And you know, I'm not a big Well, actually, I've never walked down. And what do you call it, a catwalk? Yeah, is that what it is? I've never done that before. Might come as a bit of a surprise. But, but yeah, when you get to the end of it, I was like, I was saying to my little buddy there, I don't, what do we do? And he's like, well, let's do something fun. And I was like, so he like brought me out of my shell to do something fun because I didn't want to look like an idiot and not do anything.
There was a kid that was dancing and had like the best dance moves. I remember that.
Yeah, I think my guy made me do a cartwheel, and I can't even remember the last time I did a cartwheel. So survived that, and that was good. But I think this year, I think it's going to be a full family affair for us. I think all three of us are going to be doing it. So might have to do some practicing at home.
Does it kind of tick you guys off, though, knowing that Roman's just going to win this? I mean, you just look at him, and I mean, you just know that he's
I don't
just
know about it this year.
No?
Is he still the best dressed? Is he still Styles? There's a lot of guys with style on the team.
I have seen a lot of Styles.
There's a lot of style.
I mean, Matt Irwin, but he's got some style. Too. So.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that we don't really pick out our outfits for the event, you know?
You can get something real
nice. Blame someone else?
Yes. So you can, you know, if you pick the short straw, you might be screwed. So.
Hey, you look like you're going to Hawaii or something.
Tommy Bahama shirt.
It is It is a fun event, though. And it's about the kids. They come out.
Yeah.
Make you do the crab dance or whatever it is.
Like we said before, like even though like guys like me are a little bit uncomfortable in situations like this and it's not my favorite thing to do to walk on a catwalk in front of people, but you know it benefits people and the kids from Best Buddy have the time of their life. So you know anything we can do to embarrass ourselves and make other people happy, I mean we're happy to do that.
Well, shout out to you guys for that. Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Hal Gill, Chase McCabe, Smashville Live. We're here at Boomba's in Bellevue. The fans are digging it. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. You can register to win a pair of tickets to Saturday, February 22nd. The Preds will take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be giving those away tonight. When we come back, though, questions from the audience. We will do that next. Smashville Live, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live, rolling right along here from Boomba's in Bellevue on Highway 100. Chase McCabe, Skillsy, Hal Gill, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, hanging out with you tonight. We always enjoy our time here at Boomba's for Smashville Live. In a few minutes, we will go out to the audience. We'll take some questions. You can also register to win a pair of tickets to the game on February 22nd as the Preds take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena. So let's do this. Obviously, last night was a scary situation there in Anaheim between the Blues and the Ducks. And I hope, you know, none of you guys ever have to go through something like that. But I remember as soon as it happened with Jay Bouwmeester, I remember back 06, 05, 06, something like that, the Predators were playing the Detroit Red Wings. Yuri Fisher collapsed on the bench. It was kind of the same situation. So just a scary thing, but it just shows you having the medical personnel right there. They were able to get on it, and Jay Bouwmeester appears to be okay. That's the update that we've gotten, that they're running tests to see what happened. But I know for you guys that play this game night in and night out, that's scary to see.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate and scary, obviously, when I saw it for the first time. And I wish him a speedy recovery, and I hope, you know, everything checks out. And, you know, maybe it was just a freak accident. And, you know, you really hope for the best in those situations, and you don't like to see it. You know, fortunately, he was, you know, the Anaheim Ducks medical training staff and as well as, you know, the St. Louis Blues medical training staff were there and all hands on deck, and were able to do what they needed to do to get him into a stable condition. And, you know, I think it kind of takes you a step back. And like you said, you never want to see anything like that happen to anyone. But to have it happen in that situation, I mean, sometimes you got to take the plus out of it, you know, to have all those trained professionals around you within striking distance to be there within seconds is definitely was beneficial, obviously. So wishing him all the best. Obviously, it's a tough situation. Sure. I just, you know, thinking about him and his family, obviously, it was just very sad to see.
Does the NHL give you guys any more? I remember after Yuri Fisher, they sat everyone down and said, just so you know, we put in certain procedures to handle a situation. Do they still talk to you about that, or is that just kind of a reaction to Fisher and hopefully it never
Rich
happens
Beverly,
again?
Yeah. Former Predator had something happen
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think, you know, after that year Fisher incident, I think they kind of updated a lot of things around the ring,
yeah.
as far as I remember. So, you know, in case something happens again that, you know, they're prepared, people are close, people that need to be close are close, and all the medical devices that you need are close. And I think that's what happened yesterday. I think, you know, it was so quick that they got to him. They were able to help him. So, you know, I don't know if there's anything more we can do now, but definitely the Yuri Fisher situation definitely kind of, you know, put in perspective that, you know, this could happen again, though. So let's be prepared for next time. And, you know, like Matt said, you know, it looks like he's good. He's on his feet, and he's back to normal. And yeah, luckily that, you know, people were close, and the Anaheim Arena medical staff was alert and ready to go, and you know, possibly saved his life.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, listeners, I think every arena has a defibrillator, right? You know, it's there. You know, it was brought up today and people were talking about it. You should look to make sure you know where it is,
right?
Because everyone has one. And, you know, it's sadly something happens and everything changes. But I think it's great. In the NHL, I used to love picking the trainers' brains to find out how they do everything. And they have hand signals. And so doctors are right there. There's always a doctor right there behind the bench and ready to jump on it. And so those things can be
I think that's cool.
Kind of
like,
save Jay's life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, for the fans that might not know, all our doctors and physicians are sitting right behind our bench. I think that's kind of probably protocol around the league, so that you're right close to ice level, right close to the bench, and they have access to you as quickly as possible. And obviously, unfortunate situations happen, and like the one last night, and you know, there's a reason why they're not in the second bowl and, you know, and down or across the ice or anything like that. So obviously, you know, the NHL has done their, you know, their due diligence on what works, and it's the defibrillators, having those within striking distance. And I'm sure I don't know how many are in the arena, just, you know, for access for us, but also access to anyone in the building. But I got to think that there's plenty. So,
The doctors aren't just there to stitch you up and tell you to go kill another penalty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you how physical and tough this game really can be. So wishing J-Bo Meester, a.k.a. J-Bo, a speedy recovery. Let's go to Gina from Promotions, who is out in the audience. Gina, who do you have with you?
Hello. I have Eric from Gallatin.
Hello, Eric.
So Chase and Skillsy have given you guys easy questions up until this point here.
There we go.
Both of you are unrestricted free agents at the end of the season here, and I know the trade deadline is looming. So you guys, are you nervous with that? The rest of the guys nervous? And the second part of my question is, what do you think David Poole and the guys are going to do, and what do they need to do for you guys?
Is your name really Jared Stillman? Because that was a Jared-type question.
That's a good question. You know, part one of the question being a UFA, you know, it's kind of the uncertainty of the job. You know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen next year. Would love to stay in Nashville. Family loves it here. My son's born here. So, you know, obviously this would be choice number one. To answer part two of your question, in terms of what Mr. Poile is going to do at the deadline, I can guarantee you one thing. He's going to look to make our team competitive and look to add pieces to put the best, you know, group on the ice to win a Stanley Cup. I think, you know, us as players, that's what you want. As fans, that's what you want. You want winning hockey, and I think David's no different. You know, obviously with the trade deadline looming, I mean, I think all players, unless you got a no trade clause, you know exactly when that date is, and it's on your mind. you know.
Do you guys talk about it in the room, or is it just whatever?
Not really.
No, not really. I mean, you know, the trade deadline is, you know, it's part of our job. You know, yeah. We've been in the league for a long time, and, you know, we've been through, you know, plenty of trade deadlines, and things happen, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and, you know, there's moves that are going to be made, and, yeah, like, the trade deadline is definitely, like, you know, the week leading up to it, you know, you might be a little bit more, you know, on edge and, you know, really sure what's going to happen, but, you know, it's part, it's, you know, it's part of our life, it's part of our business, and, you know, you've seen friends getting traded, you've seen yourself getting traded, so it's just part of it. You get used to it, you kind of know what it's all about, and, you know, when it comes to Mr. Poirier, I mean, he's done a really good job putting his team together. You know, there's not much more we can ask of him. You know, he's giving us all the tools and all the, you know, all the players that we need to, you know, to win championship. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's up to the players to perform. Right. And, you know, as disappointed as we've, you know, it's been for us, or as frustrating as it's been for us so far this year, I think we've seen in the last couple of weeks that, you know, we have the right pieces to win this league, and you know, like we talked before, it's that time of the year, you know, embrace the grind and believe in the group that we have, and you know, I think the closer the playoffs get and the closer we see the goal to make the playoffs, and the belief is here, we you know, we have the talent that it takes to have success.
Yeah, I have to add to that, because I've gone through how many trade deadlines, and it's
that's how you came here,
and,
right?
Yeah, and so the whole thing is like we've all seen guys that, like, you know, you have a 3-day road trip, and you know, a guy will pack 5 bags because he knows he's going somewhere, and then he never goes somewhere, yeah. You know, and then you know, I was playing with Yannick in Montreal, and I. We quick trip down to Buffalo. That was in and out. I brought a toothbrush, and then I got traded to Nashville, and I had to spend 2 weeks on the road with a suit and a toothbrush. And so, you know, you can plan on things. It just doesn't work out that way. And, you know, there's a GM has got to do his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, so David Poile is talking to everyone, and he's talking about every player on the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to get better? He's reassessing everything he's got to do because that's his job.
Yeah.
And as a player, you realize, and it took me maybe 5 years. You guys might be different, but it took me 5 years to really be comfortable with, I can't control that. I'm going to go out, do whatever. If you have a no trade, then you can control it. You say, all right, here's my list, and here's how. But for the most part, you go out and you do your job, and you're best friends with the guy next to you because you want him to be successful, because you know if he's successful, then you're going to be successful. So it's not an easy job, and these guys, I've been in your shoes, and obviously when you're winning, it's a lot more fun, but either way, you're going through a battle, and the mental struggle is just as tough as the physical one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, good question, Craig. A good discussion. It's Smashville Live. We're at Boomba's here in Bellevue. Got a few minutes to register to win tickets to the game on February 22nd against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber. All brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. When we come back, we'll get you set for tomorrow night's game and also a big weekend here in Smashville. We'll discuss that next. Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Smashville Live at Boomba's in Bellevue. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber. A crowd that is full of passion. I like it.
It smells so good in here.
It really does. The food's amazing.
I'm starving.
Well, you need to eat. You need to eat after the show.
I'm thirsty and I'm starving. And this is the right place to be if you're
never,
both of those.
You're never thirsty.
I'm always
thirsty.
Well, they said it, not me. It's all brought to you. Speaking of thirsty, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. It's appropriate that we have a beer sponsor and liquor on with you on the show. So that's That's good.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. Yeah, that's good. It makes sense.
I do enjoy a good beer.
Before we get to the game tomorrow against New York, Sunday's going to be cool. You guys have a back-to-back against St. Louis there on Saturday and then a 5 o'clock game on Sunday. Hockey Day in America is going to take place, originating from Bridgestone Arena. It's something the NHL is doing. Hockey is for everyone. I really like the things that the league has done over the past several years of, you know, it's not a niche sport. I mean, it's a very popular sport, and they're trying to get everybody involved in coming out and going to these games. So I think it's cool that it's going to be at Bridgestone Arena. I showed you guys the video earlier of me attempting to skate on the outdoor rink on the plaza.
What did you guys think of that, by the way?
It was horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty awful, huh?
I think there's no other way to say it, but
you know what the hard
part is? It's not as easy as it looks, I guess.
Chase has a hard time walking in general,
skating is slippery.
It is. You should have seen me trying to get off the ice.
They probably weren't even sharpened. That's probably your problem.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
You got to set them down to Pete Rogers. He'll get you all set up, and then you'll be flying.
Well, what I want to do is just put all the gear on and then just – running start and just go after it and just see what happens and
see if you can stop. Or
I probably won't be able to.
Can we set that up?
Yes,
that'd be funny.
Can I be out there?
Yeah.
You guys probably want to jump in on that too.
So this is what came up yesterday.
No suspension on that one.
Chris Mason was on, and we were talking about this, and I said, listen, I feel like Mace would be very patient. He would help me. Show me what to do. Skillsy would make fun of me and then try and hit me and knock me over. That's what I think would happen.
Probably fair.
I think that's accurate.
Yep.
But what
would you guys tell someone who's learning to skate? What would you tell them? Just, I know it's a tough question.
Because you guys have been skating since you were how old?
Three, four years old. Yeah.
It's tough to learn when you're older,
right.
I guess.
It's a longer way to fall, isn't there?
Yeah, right. You don't recover as easily, but...
So maybe take that advice, Chase.
Just don't do it.
Everyone else out there, everyone's going to the rink and skating on the outdoor rink. It's amazing.
It was great because I, of course, was hanging onto the wall. The wall was my friend. And there was another person that was learning to skate as well, and so they were hanging onto the wall, and I got to them, and I'm like, how do I get around? And Gina was filming and nagging and telling me to let go, and it was just I was scared I was going to fall into somebody.
But that's all because of Hockey Day in America.
Yes.
I wanted to just, can I go off?
Yeah, that's fine. You can change the subject.
The only American team on, I don't even know if you know this.
No.
Preds were the only American team on Hockey Day in Canada.
I saw that actually.
Yes. Know that.
Yeah, it's true.
In Edmonton.
In the Edmonton game,
And so, you know, as a Canadian, Maddie, what is that? That in Hockey Day in Canada is huge, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone knows of like that. This, you know, Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday night games, you know. But much like, you know, Hockey Day in America, Hockey Day in Canada, you know, the same idea. I think where were they? Northwest Territories, I think, was kind of where they're stationed this year.
Oh, up there in Yellowknife.
Yeah, up in Yellowknife. Eh? Yeah,
way
up there.
Oh,
She's cold.
Freeze the nuts off a steel bridge, I tell you
that's
that right now.
But, you know, it's really cool for the whole country. I mean, you got hockey going all day, all the Canadian teams. You know, for us to be a part of that is cool. I mean, we got a handful of Canadian players on the roster, and, you know, it's just a way to celebrate the sport throughout the whole country, much like we're doing here on Sunday with you know, Hockey Day in America. So it's really cool to be a part of something like that.
So real quick, tomorrow, the Islanders come into town, a pretty good team out of the East in a playoff battle of their own. Barry Trotz, their head coach, so Nashville fans obviously remember him. But as you guys said earlier, every point counts. So I know that you have to take that one game at a time mentality, but you have a tough opponent coming in tomorrow night. And I feel like for you guys, that's almost what you look for is that tough matchup to really get you guys going.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, I think every matchup is going to be tough, you know. And I think at this point of the season, it really doesn't matter who you play, you know, if it's a team out from the East or if it's from the West. I think it's all about us at this point. Like we said earlier, it's all about wins and getting points. And I feel like in the last couple of weeks we've made some big steps to improve our game, and now it's just all about, you know, showing that, you know, that it has to work now. So I think you know, tomorrow's the next game. We were definitely disappointed to lose in Vancouver and Edmonton. So we know that we have to get back to winning, and you know, being at home is nice. We like playing at home with our fans, and we know we need their support at this point more than ever to you know, to give us the push that we need to get points and move closer to a playoff spot.
It was a crazy game in Long Island. Do you guys remember that, or
yeah.
Does that sink in, or do you guys kind of, you're just moving on? It's another game.
I mean, it was a wild game. What was it, 8-3 or something
like
that?
It was crazy.
You know, it's like one of those games where, you know,
you guys just destroyed them.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they came up, they went in, and then we came back. But I think it was just one of those games where we were getting a lot of the bounces, you know, and I don't think it was exactly, you know, indicative of the score at 8-3 game, but you know, we got our chances, and it's one of those games where we're capitalizing on our chances. So you know, going back to like the importance of the games for us, it's, you know, obviously every game is important right now, and it doesn't matter if you're playing an East or West team or a team that's last in the league or first in the league. If you're that team that's last in the league, the pride that they have to want to, you know, not allow you one to win but make the playoffs, I mean, it's a little game inside the game. So there's going to be no easy games for us, obviously. Every point matters, like Webby was saying, and it doesn't really matter at this point who we're playing. It's we got to bring our best effort, because you know the team across from you is going to do the same.
Another 8-3 game would be perfect.
Well,
yeah,
I'll definitely
be awesome.
Take that. That's it's nice.
Let's make somebody a winner before we get out of here. Matt, I'll let you do the honors.
Everyone's a winner here.
Well, it's true.
Boombas.
You're here. You're here.
Andrea Gunn.
Andrea Gunn has won a pair of tickets. See the Preds take on the Blue Jackets on
February 22nd.
So that is going
to
do
Price
it for
right.
Another edition of Smashville Live. Join us next week. We'll be at Brewhouse in Cool Springs. Austin Watson, Ryan Ellis will be the guests. My thanks to Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Hal Gill. I am Chase McCabe. Also, thank you to New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. Stick around.
Cheers.
Penalty Box Radio is next.